Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and Happy New Year to you, our listeners. This is Hot Toy Cast episode 71. Yeah, we know we're late. It's been a while. We've all been hugely busy. But we're back. It's New Year. I'm in new digs as well. I've got a new home, so that's flipping great. So let's see how this sounds. This is my first podcast in our new home, so let's see how this sounds. And lads, it's been a while since we spoke. Mike, last time I saw you was at PowerCon in Ohio, Columbus, Ohio.
Yes, I was down there and I saw you at your booth selling toys and autographing people's body parts.
Autographing people's body parts. Yes, we won't go into that. No, that was so. It was about my only second time meeting you, but it was so nice seeing you pop over, and I felt a bit bad because you kept on coming over second times, and I was hugely famous for 5 minutes there, Mike. So you know you had to you had to kind of queue up with the common.
Yeah, people. You're forgotten little people are.
Yeah, no.
You've left us behind.
Left us behind. Yeah, because you know you can become so famous doing designing action figures and stuff like that. No, it was PowerCon was just a joy seeing Mike. So it's like, look at him, and he got to meet Ali and stuff like that as well again. So it was great. But PowerCon it's a really cool toy show. I have to say, I've been to San Diego Comic Con, and I've been to other toy shows here in the UK and stuff like that. But and I only go really where I'm invited. Although I've been told you sometimes have to invite yourself to conventions, which it seems as a little bit much, to be honest. So I kind of just, hey, if you guys want me, you know, I'm going over, that's great. But I don't tend to invite myself to conventions, but I've been friends with Val Staples like for the longest time. So he finally got me over for the toy convention, PowerCon, over there. And it's great because it used to be a He-Man convention only, and now it's just all about toys. And what's great is all the makers come out. So the Four Horsemen come out, you know, the Spearow Boys come out, NECA come. Actually, no, NECA didn't come. McFarlane came this year. And who else was there? Mondo were there. Super 7 were there.
They were there. NEC, I remember they were showing stuff down towards the end. I mean, it's not like, you know, major players from there were there, but the company was there.
Yeah, company was there, exactly. Yeah, and man, McFarlane were giving
us... They had Nosferatu. Yeah, they had the Ultimates down there and ended up with Case. Yeah.
It's good stuff. I mean, obviously, this is obviously a high-end podcast and stuff like that, and there's not many hot toys at a place like PowerCon. It's more like for, you know, kind of standard, well figures.
Well,
are
we did see Mondo. Mondo was there.
We did see Mondo. Mondo were there, and my God, what a booth they had. Jesus, it was absolutely brilliant.
And it's funny you say that about, you know, like hot toys and the big ones. Mondo is not having a place there. But at the same time, it's one of those crazy things where I'm looking at the, you know, 10-inch figures now, completely made out of plastic, and they are literally more than the price we paid for Hot Toys, like, you know, 10 years ago. I mean, obviously, I know inflation plays a major deal in that, but I'm like, wow, it's incredible.
Yeah, I know. It is. Tell me, I mean, I'm at the kind of receiving end of that and stuff like that. So, yeah. for anyone paying attention, listeners, here's me going to be talking about me for 2 seconds. I've started working with the Frazetta girls, Sarah and Joe over there, Frazetta girls, and I've gotten into bed with them. And we're doing our action figures together. We're finally doing Frazetta action figures, proper good Frazetta action figures. And our first one out the door is Dark Wolf from Fire and Ice. And he literally, this week, he's been hitting people's hands. In hand. People have got him in hand. We've all of our stores got him. Big Bad Toy Store got their stock. Whole Shebang in the UK got their stock. Frazetta Girls got their stock. And Frazetta Girls have sold out now. Big Bad, so there's still some left at Big Bad Toy Store. And there's still some left on... with the whole shebang. Oh, and if you're in Asia, anyone listening to Asia over in the Far East or anything like that, 5K toys I've got a huge stock as well, so, but they're getting through them, and I think we might actually sell all of this figure, but it's been a crazy process doing all this. And again, I started designing this figure last year in April. And the figure is now in people's hands. And I'm going to say that I think, I don't know if anyone's ever done it faster. There was no compromising in quality or that. We got a good factory. They were keen to get going. And we just jumped on it. And we got our 4 tests in.
It's a great looking piece. Yeah, I mean, I've seen you promoting it. And it does look really cool. It's not something that really fits into my collecting modus operandi, but it does look very, very nicely done.
No, because you are 1/12th only, aren't you? Really, you don't really collect
1/6. 1/6.
Sorry, 1/6.
I occasionally meander into statues and stuff. If I see a piece that I know 1/6 is never going to touch, I think that's the only representation I'm going to have. I will dip my finger.
Yeah.
But most of the time, yeah, it's 1/6.
Well, that seems to be the prevailing logic, isn't it? That the best-looking version of that character is the one you buy, and that can be any skin. That's prevailing. But, Mike, have you
ordered
your...
Unless, of course, it's a Pop's, you know, bobblehead shit.
Ah,
in which case, no.
In which case, no, okay. Mike, have you ordered your Dark Wolf yet?
No, I haven't.
Mike, you need to get
I
on.
I know, blaspheme.
Blasphemer. Blasphemer. I mean, would you do a? Do you want to do a review of him?
Of course.
Well, I'll see if so. Then if I can get you one over, then and I'll see if I can get you one over. We've just given out quite a few already, and we're also trying to keep an eye on stuff. But I'll see if I can get you one over. It'll be
see
worth.
See what you can do.
I can see what I can do. But yes, so Dark Wolf from Firelist. If anyone's a Frazetta fan listening, go get that Dark Wolf. Myself and Aaron Doyle and Joe, and I've had Matt O'Toole doing our paint masters as well. I found an amazing sculptor in Aaron Doyle. I've known Aaron Doyle for a long time, and we've always wanted to work together and things like that, but he's done a lot of like other things for other companies, for Horsemen and the like and things like that, but I wanted to get him on board, and we found, and it's gas because I originally had another sculptor, and it didn't work out at all, but I managed to get Aaron for a good price, and like he's as Kevin Spitz said, he's done the Lord's work. I mean, his sculpting is through the roof. I mean, I'm very fussy. I knew exactly what I wanted this figure to be. I wanted this figure to be exactly like the design art that I drew, which is something that not all sculptors do, I have to say. A lot of sculptors will just look at what's on the art and say, okay, I'm just going to do that. But some sculptors will just go off and do their own thing. They won't follow the standings of the art. Some thankfully do. And it's fine, you know. That's kind of the thing, you know. It's sculptors, like, they're kind of a power unto themselves kind of thing, and you know, you just kind of bow to their will to a certain degree.
This is one of those areas where I totally get, because you're the designer, and I totally understand you're precious about it, and you love it, but at the same time, my design ethos has always been, because when I work with other designers, whether they're doing product design, whether they're doing sculptural elements, there's a little element of me that thinks, I don't hire a landscape gardener and then tell them where to put the flowers. I hire them and I think these guys are really skilled, and it's kind of like they know what they want to do. And I often find it's the little kind of, I don't know, flourishes that they kind of bring to a project that you wouldn't necessarily have ordered them to do that make you think, oh, wow, you know, this is why this guy does this job. That's their talent.
Yeah.
You know, they are a 3D sculptural expert and they really get this shit.
Yes.
I'm not like putting you down, but I just think sometimes it's like, let the expert do what they do, then rein them in a little bit, but don't rein them in before they've even started.
I think that is definitely a case by case basis. Aaron is amazing at taking direction. As far as I'm concerned, the designer is the architect.
Yeah.
And the sculptor is the builder, because I know what I want. I don't mind.
Or the sculptural engineer, the project engineer, as you might put it.
The project engineer, exactly. But Aaron has been so great. He's just one of those really easy to work with guys that just, he gets it. He's a fan of Frazetta. He knows, he's a big He-Man collector as well. So we kind of know, we look at this and all these things. So it's just been absolute joy. And we debuted the figure at PowerCon. We had like a test shot at PowerCon. Fully done, fully articulated. Still a bit gummy on the joint session, but we're very excited now. And the figure is now out for people, and let the games begin, because, you know, you discover over it when you're doing this stuff yourself, you just realize sometimes, you know, collectors are, sometimes people just say really kind of daft things, and it's like, so I had like one comment on the articulation saying, it was sniffing. The guy clearly didn't watch the video or see any photographs of this figure before he made the comment. It's like, what are you basing that on? And it's like, it does seem to me that there is a sway of people out there who just drop an opinion on something without any real knowledge of what they're talking about. Oh, it doesn't have this, it doesn't have this. Like, it's got arm swivel, it's got elbow swivel, it's got thingy swivel. There are swivels there to compensate for this. Oh, no double jointed elbows. Darn them. Oh, God. And it's just, there's someone. Some of them I could waffle on, but some of them are just like, but you haven't, have you picked up the figure? Have you posed it? Tell me what motion you're going to get, extra motion you're going to get from having waist articulation over the crazy torso articulation that I've given them. You're not.
Yeah, there's stupid runs rampant in every fandom, including action figure collectors.
Oh, yeah.
And it's just,
I mean, the thing that I think the majority, well, a lot of collectors don't have is that, you know, an engineer and a designer have gone through a million computations of how they're going to deliver this product, and they don't ever pretty much want to deliver a crap product. They want to deliver the best they can, and there is always going to be compromise. But to then sit there and whine about the compromise is kind of like, well, look, it's in your hands. It's something you really want. Try and enjoy it for the best it is. You know, there's always going to be. That's why we're here. We are reviewers. You know, we're gonna whine about some elements, but at the same time, we should rejoice the fact that this thing even exists sometimes.
I know, but I think it's like you say, that's exactly it. I just think some people just feel very entitled or something. Like, they don't understand. I mean, admittedly, I've probably been guilty of it maybe in the past of it by judging harshly as well, so I kind of get it. You just kind of go in there. You know, we've all, you kind of go in there, it's like, oh, well, you know, I'm paying money for this, and I should expect this, and it's just like, but I just think some people just aren't quite aware. It's like, you know, we're not Hasbro. We're not Mattel. Yeah. It's a small company. We can only do so much. And it's just, and like you said earlier, it's like, you know, the prices of these smaller figures are increasing in size, but I think it's because runs are lower. You know, Mattel and Hasbro and people, you know, they're going to put 5, 10, 10 to 20,000 units.
I don't know if Mike's
in.
Getting this, but you've gone all Dalek, Heyman.
Have I gone all Dalek? Wow, that's unusual.
Yeah, it doesn't sound that way to me. He still sounds good to me.
Oh, really? Okay, well, I shouldn't gone all Dalek because we've got fiber optics here. It's really good internet connection. But am I still sounding Dalek?
Sound good to me.
I sound good to you. Maybe Jeff's switched off now. Have we lost Jeff?
Maybe Jeff's having trouble.
Yeah, maybe Jeff's having trouble. But yeah, I mean, we'll wait for him to come back. We can continue in our conversation. But yeah, I mean, you know, Four Horsemen figures now, they're like £45 to £50, or 35 bucks if you buy them, depending on the figure. Sometimes the ones are 38.
Well, keep in mind, you were talking about Mattel making 10,000 or something. You know, Hasbro made 2 million of a 4-inch Luke Skywalker in 1979. I mean,
wow.
The numbers that we produce today, that action figure companies make today, are nothing compared to what they were in the late 70s and early 80s. I mean, it's lucky to get a 10,000 run on a figure.
And it's also, well,
even something like NECA.
Yeah, but these young companies are coming up, and you saw PowerCon, and then you got these, you know, like Spiro Toys, the guys making the Animal Warriors, Warriors of the Animal Kingdom and stuff, those guys.
They look great.
They're wicked. I mean, like, you pick one of those up, and it's like, it feels really good quality. It's like such a good quality figure. All their figures are, and I've got like 10 of them now, and I absolutely love them. And then you've got like other ones, and then you got crazy dudes like Ramen Toys coming out, and they're like doing really on loads of licenses that they shouldn't be doing. And I'm like, how the hell are they getting away with that crap? But well, there you go, you know. And the four.
But it's, I mean, I like it to back in the sort of very late 90s, late 90s, not very late, when you first started getting the McFarlane stuff coming out, and it was like a revolution. I mean, I'm sure.
Yeah, it was.
You know. As your old phrase of nerd humbles, they a lot of them limited in articulation, but all of a sudden you had these incredible sculpts with incredible paint detail. You know, we'd lived a life of, as you say, mass-produced Hasbro, whatever kind of like characters, which we loved because they had a limited amount of articulation. But all of a sudden you had like these McFarlane figures, and it was like the game was all of a sudden lifted by about 5 degrees.
Yeah, and I mean, Mike, because you're obviously an avid, like, you know, 6-inch collector as well. What do you think? Do you think we're having a bit of a second kind of, you know, renaissance of action figures? I mean, you saw it.
We certainly are seeing more from smaller companies than any we have in a while.
Yeah,
this isn't a new thing, right? I mean, again, what Jeff was talking about, that late 90s, early 2000s, when McFarlane and NECA and Mezco and companies like Palisades and Resaurus and, you know, a billion small companies were really pushing what you could do with action figures. And as expected, when you have, you know, 12 companies doing all the same thing, 6 of them disappear fairly soon after because only so, you know, the market's only so big. And I think right now we're in that phase where it got cleaned out a lot in the 2010s up through 2020. You saw a lot of companies disappear and it got consolidated down smaller. And now we're seeing that rebound again, where you're starting to see a lot of smaller companies
Art Asylums and Palisades, all those kind of companies that were really delivering really top quality stuff. But as you said, it was like an uneven playing field when you just sort of...
Well, it also requires a certain amount of savvy to survive tough times. There's and it takes a company like Mezco did it really well. Mezco's been around forever, right? They were not that long after McFarlane, and you know, before they were Mezco, they were, what were they, when they did the that first horror wave of Nosferatu and
Oh, Movie Maniacs, or was that them?
no, they, I'll think of it here in a minute. They Mezco had a name first, and then they switched to Mezco. But I mean, they've been around forever, and they've weathered those periods of time where things were really tight. They knew how to cut back and to not overproduce, and then they were able to survive those periods and then come back strong. And it takes a certain savvy to do that, and not a lot of companies have that. And so, yeah, we saw a lot drop off again in the 2010s through 2020, but we're seeing premium DNA and ramen and you know, we're seeing a lot of companies come up now, and filling in for these. What also what I think tends to happen is that the big boys go for the big licenses. It's the same thing you saw with Hot Toys. When Hot Toys was controlling the smaller licenses and they were doing, you know, weird little things here and there, they kind of had the whole market in premium six scale figures. As they started to focus on Star Wars and Marvel and let go most of that, you know, one-off stuff, other companies stepped up to pick up on that. And we're now seeing other companies like XO6 and Mars Toys, even if they can start to do some licensed stuff, and Asmus and Inart, and you're seeing other companies step in to fill in where the guy who controlled the market kind of let it, you know, those little pieces go. And the same thing happened with McFarlane. McFarlane really dominated that market, and then they kind of started letting stuff go. They started to consolidate and shrink. And those other smaller companies came in and grabbed those pieces. And I think we're seeing that again happening.
It's weird. I watched a documentary just the other day about Todd McFarlane. It was interesting, as you say, about, you know, he had his own kind of like IP in Spawn that was a massive money maker for him. But, you know, the numbers dropped away. People weren't buying the comic anymore, so the figures weren't as popular. And it was very interesting to see how that whole dynamic totally changed how his company worked. And again, going back to like Hot Toys, it's weird. I had a pop-up on Facebook today just about 2013, when they were just announcing they'd won some award for their Iron Man line. And it was funny at the time. I said, you know, people are complaining about there's too many Iron Man, but look, it's still winning awards and it's doing well. And that was like 11 years ago. And look at them now. I mean, they're still churning out Iron Man at a million miles an hour. It seems like, you know, if you've got a money maker, you're going to shake it.
Right, but when you do that, it does let other companies in, right? It lets
Yeah,
other
oh,
companies
totally,
start to
yeah.
pick up all of those licenses that you've kind of let slide off to the side and aren't
Yeah.
focusing on.
Yeah,
Because there's still
totally.
demand for that stuff, right? I mean, it's not the same level of demand as there is for Iron Man, but people still
Yeah.
want those other licenses.
They do.
Yeah.
I had to do
And
well.
I think Hot Toys have
I mean,
got
look at
quite.
Amon and Frazetta, right? I mean, there's a license that nobody's doing that has demand, and you know, by
Massive
picking
fan
up on
base,
that and
yeah.
going after it, you've found a niche that you can and that you can exploit.
It's going to be very interesting to see that, because that's, as I've said before, Frazetta has a broad appeal, but I often question whether the Frazetta fandom would translate into action figure collectors, because I'll just worry because he's an artist and things like that. But I think because of Frazetta's the genre he mostly played in, i.e. this fantasy and sword and sorcery and science fiction genres, I think, you know, the crossover is quite
Well, I know
strong.
that whenever anybody does Conan figures, for example, they always do well. Right? I've never seen a Conan line. Now, they've had trouble getting past the main character, but Frazetta provides a slightly different take on that because of the art.
Exactly, and we are doing Conan figures. We are doing Conan, so we're very, very, very excited to do that. And
Who's next, by the way?
Tigra is actually. I'm going to get my test shotting off Tigra now this week. So it's because that's the thing. I'm not going to show 3D renders. We're not going to decide. I'm not to show 3D renders. We're going to show people the pretty much a final thing, and then they can base their purchase on that rather than just 3D renders. I'm not doing 3D renders. I want people to see. We get Trevor. We get our prototypes. We get them out to Trevor Williams. and he does his mad photographic skills on that, and it makes it look amazing. And that's what we're just doing. So we got Tigra. I'll have Tigra now this week, and we'll see now how long it'll take. What it'll be any alterations, or anything, you know, because it's gonna be the first. So might send it back, might not. Mike over to Trevor, might not. We'll see how it goes, and it just fills it off. And the third figure, I'm not telling you what that is. The second figure is Tigra. So Tigra is, that's Tigra. The third figure, I'm not going to tell you what it is, but it's a nice surprise. It's not a Fire and Ice figure, so it's a nice surprise. But I can tell you that it's not Fire and Ice. And it's very excited, and I've just literally sent that over to the factory today to start gauging and what we need, and would I do soft goods. And so it might have soft goods as well, this new one. Well, I don't know. I'm going to play around. I'm on the fence with the soft goods. Actually, Mike, we could do a whole separate podcast just on this stuff, because I'm like trying to decide whether I should go with a soft goods cape or not, that kind of thing. Maybe I'll just do a furry collar and have the drapery on the back as soft goods. I quite like what Mattel did with some of their capes on that, but I'd like nicer material, things like that, you know. It's really interesting. But anyway, we could babble about that for ages. We've got hot toys to talk about. And we should kick off with our Hot Toys New Year 2024 with some new hot toys. And bearing in mind, some of these have actually been revealed already, but we're a little bit behind. And there's not actually that many over the last 6 months from Hot Toys. There hasn't been that many new releases from Hot Toys over the last 6 months, that's to be said. There's one or two surprises here, but also a lot of reruns and rejiggies and updates and stuff like that. And of course, the first one out the door that I'd like to talk about is literally the last hot toy I reviewed on this podcast. I think it was. I think I reviewed my Ahsoka last time, and literally within days of me reviewing that Ahsoka, the brand new Ahsoka comes out. And, you know, it is, of course, Ahsoka in white,
yeah.
And it does have a nice new head sculpt. So, Jeff, what do you think of this? What are you going to get this one?
I didn't get the last one. I kicked myself for not getting it. I mean, she's doing the old Gandalf, the grey Gandalf, the white, isn't
yeah,
she?
Yeah,
it's kind
yeah,
of like
yeah.
The white. I like the colorway. There's something about the grey I kind of prefer slightly. I know there seemed to be, from what I read, quite a few issues with her arms splitting and stuff going on with the,
oh, really?
The grey version. Yeah, with the, you know, holding dynamic poses, etc.
Okay.
Because the arms were seamless, there were some splits occurring. So yeah, I'm very tempted. Let's put it that way. And I like the fact that the movable eyes are becoming more and more commonplace
yeah.
for Hot Toys,
yeah.
rather than just being a DX feature. Is cool. So yeah, it's something I've got my eye on. I don't tend to pre-order very often. I tend to like, you know, wait and see, and then maybe pay a little bit over the odds. But this last year, I've got two daughters. One's just finished uni, doing a master's. So I'm like, I'm hoping to get back into the scene a little bit more next year. But it's been a bit of a barren year for me.
Right, a bit of a barren year. But you've got a few figures to talk about later on in the podcast. So we'll get on with that. Mike, how do you feel about this?
I had a nice Christmas present. Yeah.
Oh, good. Okay, cool.
Yeah, I'll be picking this one up. I didn't pick up the first one because I assumed we'd get one with the TV show.
Yeah.
And so I had waited, and yeah, I've got this one on pre-order. I like this suit quite a bit.
Yeah, and I think the head sculpt is lovely. I think the head sculpt is definitely
and I've got, you know, Sabine Wren on pre-order, and this is going to go nicely with, you know, the other characters from that show.
Yeah.
Cool. And the next one is another character from Ahsoka very quickly. It's Marok. He's one of those. Is he that dude that kind of like
yeah.
blew apart and kind of just kind of he was like almost like a wraith.
Yeah, he kind of just disappeared into smoke, didn't he?
Yeah, yeah. It's a funny old series, that one. Some of it was good and some was like meh. That's a funny.
I mean, I really like the figure design. I like the kind of, it's almost like
a knight.
It's almost like Snake Eyes stroke a kind of a knight of yore.
Yeah.
The helmet design.
Yeah.
So you know, I like that element. But I'm just fascinated by the fact that they didn't do any of the other characters before. You know, again, my senior brain's, you know,
like the bounty hunter, up. Like the bounty hunter lass, and
yeah,
and
the bounty
name?
Hunters. It was kind
Ray
of like,
Stevenson's,
you know, the
character.
Sort of fallen Jedi. They I can see why they've done it. They want to see how well it sells, what the pre-orders are like, because obviously, if they do any of the other characters, then they have to include a detailed head sculpt, which includes a lot more sculpting and painting. So it's I'm very tempted by it because I don't even like G.I. Joe, but I own two Snake Eyes figures. One's from Hot Toys,
cool
one
design.
Is from 1,000 Toys. You know, they did a really good robot version, well, hybrid robot, yeah. whatever. And I love the Snake Eyes, and he looks like he's almost like the Star Wars version of Snake Eyes. So I kind of want him just because of that. But anyway.
I would like that blonde, let that the bleached blonde lass from Ahsoka. I think that she would make a very cool figure. And I think Ray Stevenson would probably make a really cool figure as well.
Oh yeah, yeah. I think those two. I hope they do Ray Stevenson. It would be a cool thing.
You going to get Morok, Mike?
Probably not. He didn't. Yeah, it was just not enough of an appeal on that figure for me to invest that much money in him.
It didn't exactly make an impact, did he, in some of that? Well, out of left field and moving away from Star Wars, this one, I actually only realized it was actually Hot Toys that made this. I was like, oh, look, there's a Wolverine. There's a comic book Wolverine. I was like, oh, okay, cool. Yeah. And I was like, oh, Jesus, it's Hot Toys are making this. My goodness, what a nice departure left field. I'm like, now Hot Toys, this is interesting. You know, we've been, if for everyone who's saying like, oh, they should do something a bit different, well, this is your something a bit different. Yeah. I mean, granted, it's Wolverine, it's a safe bet, but it's a comic book, accurate, yellow, stripy, you know, and a tiger stripe Wolverine with really crazy long claws that would never fit up his forearms, but we suspend disbelief for such things because it looks cool, you know. But yeah, this is interesting. I mean, I like Meets Wolverine, but I'm not overly fussed with this. I know it's accurate, but I've always found this design of Wolverine just to be a little bit silly. Those ears have always slightly kind of bothered me. It's like, I don't know what they're meant to be, kind of thing. But I was never huge in that Wolverine design. But it's a cool figure, and I think the cod piece is very small looking. I know I'd not know around the groin area. It's just a very small little cod piece he's got wearing. Something a bit bigger would have been nicer. But man, it's, you know, if you want your comic book accurate Wolverine in a 1/6 scale, this is your one, because it looks. And Sideshow have done it once before, haven't they?
Well, I used to have the old Medicoms from back in the day. I had a really cool Medicom Wolverine, a Cyclops, Gambit, Spider-Man. I had quite a few of the old Medicoms. The only one I've ever kept is Spider-Man, because I still maintain to this day, although there's a horrible neck seam, it's one of the best Spider-Man figures that have ever been released. But I let them all go over the years. I just sold them off because they look great, but they were very comic book accurate, but they just didn't quite fit as my collecting progressed.
Right, okay. Well, I mean, I think this one's pretty cool. It's got like really cool muscular arms as well. It's got the seamless arms, which probably you're not going to get a mad range of like rotation of the shoulder or anything like that there, but it's pretty cool. Mike, where are you at with this one?
Well, I'm not a major Marvel fan, so I did most of the Sideshow DC comic accurate stuff, but I haven't really. I'm not a huge fan of the Marvel comic accurate in 6 scale. I've got plenty of it in 1/12, but 6 scale is just never been something I've picked up.
Interesting. Why is that? Why would you. Why does. Obviously, you're probably more of a DC fan than a Marvel fan, are you?
Yeah. So you for are. The most part, you know, the space for 6 scale is going to go to DC rather than Marvel.
Right. Okay. I could ask you a whole other question about why do you prefer DC?
Unless, of course, it's movie based.
Movie based.
Yeah, MCU stuff. I've got plenty of Marvel, but comic book based, I was just never as a kid a big Marvel fan.
Well, speaking of movie based, here's another drop. I mean, crikey, you're there. You get your hot toy in your cabinet. You think like, oh, cool. I know this is a figure that everybody wants, but I've got a kind of thing. It's like, oh, they're going to make another version, so I guess I'm not that special anymore. And I thought I would have been very cool at my Batfleck Batman. You know, I was like, oh, I've got my Batfleck Batman now, and you know, he's in there, and he's great, and I know it's a really highly desirable figure, and he sold out, and that. But now, Hot Toys has literally come up with a Batman v Superman 2.0 version, and it looks absolutely cool. Does it look cooler than the one that I have? I mean, I suppose the proportions are a little bit better, but I really like the one I have. There's something a bit mean. I mean, he looks cool, but there's something a bit meaner looking in the one that I already have.
I honestly agree with you here, Raymond. I totally love the first. He looks like a bull.
Yeah.
He looks like a minotaur of a man. He looks like someone who's going to destroy a brick wall.
Yes.
And it's like, the new one is great. As you say, there are more accuracies here and there, but he doesn't have the presence. He doesn't look like this absolute beast of a creature that could absolutely destroy 10 people in a second.
Yeah. And the abdominals, there's weird shapes in the abdominals. I don't remember those abs being quite like that in the movie.
Yeah, I'm happy with the originals as well.
Yeah, cool. I mean,
I really don't see this as a set I need to pick up.
Yeah, I mean, it's probably technically, like with all versions too, it's technically probably going to be better in terms of articulation, as well as the updates.
Paint apps are always better. I mean, that's one of the big Hot Toys things, is that I don't quite know what they put in the in the water they drink, but somehow they just seem to be pulling better and better paint apps out of the paintwork every time, and it's like you look at it, you think, well, how can they improve on this? And then somehow they do.
They do. They do.
Yeah.
I mean, you probably get a bit more range of motion as well by looks of it. Looking at somebody's poses as well. I mean, yeah. I mean, it's cool. I mean, great for those. But it is coming to the stage now where it's like, yeah, okay, buying stuff to know that it'll never come out again. Maybe isn't always the case. You know, sometimes some figures will.
It's going to be stuff. If you're going to do that, it's going to be figures like Sabine Wren.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's going to be, if you want to buy figures that are never going to come out again, you're going to buy figures that are B and C characters that may never, ever, you know, who knows if they're going to get a different costume or how they're going to get approached in a later film.
Yeah.
You're certainly not going to buy Batman or Superman or Iron Man and expect it not to come out again.
True that, Mike.
Yeah.
True that. Well, yeah. Very quick.
But you see, this is a classic case of, I think, I can't even remember the character's name, the Jedi from the one that disappeared into a cloud of gas, whatever his name was. There's something about him, knowing the way that they're building the story and the backstory of certain characters. I feel he's definitely going to. The fact that he disappeared, he didn't just end his existence.
Yeah,
feels
they
like
made
he's going to come back. Yeah, something's going to happen with that character. Maybe he's sitting somewhere and he can send out these force ghosts or whatever the hell he's doing. I don't know. He's going to become more important. Ergo, that earlier version, at some point people are going to go, shit, why didn't I pick that one up? I'm never going to get that one again. who knows, we are just living in the wilderness of what are the plans for these characters.
Let's see. Well, I didn't realize actually there was a couple of more Star Wars ahead. I wish I haven't gone through, and I think these are worth a mention, kind of going over really quickly, because we like to talk about Star Wars on here. It's two more figures from Ahsoka, and it's that kind of Praetorian looking dude from like a very, very Roman-esque looking kind of dude with the stormtrooper from Ahsoka, the Captain Enoch, which is not cool. Sure, cool. I mean, it does look like his face is kind of squished into a stormtrooper helmet, but it's cool. I mean, and of course, then there's the night trooper as well, the Ahsoka night trooper, with he's got the cracks and all the bits in it and stuff. I'm like, why didn't you do a zombie? I hope you do a zombie troop if you're gonna do one. Do a zombie troop. That'd be cool. Which were annoyingly disappointing. You had Star Wars zombie troopers, and it was just, they were a bit of a letdown in the TV show. I thought they were a bit easy to kill, but
yeah. I'm hoping when they get around to the Death Trooper, we did get a slight reveal, didn't we, with a broken helmet with the kind of zombie face underneath.
Yeah.
Fleetingly, but it was there. So I'm hoping when they get around to that one, we might get a bit of a reveal on the face, which would be quite cool.
Any of these too interesting to you, Jeff?
I'm Star Wars through and through. You know, it's I always kick myself for not picking up particular figures, and there are some that I regret picking up, as we all know. But it's one of those things where, I'm interested in Enoch again. I'm sure because of the fact that Dave Fillion is creating this whole expanded universe. Eventually, we're going to get backstory. Something about him is going to be important, I would imagine. The zombie troopers, not so much. They're obviously Dathomir created, which, whatever. It's interesting. They look quite interesting. But Enoch is probably, out of all of them, is the one I'm thinking is probably going to end up being of some importance at some point.
Mm-hmm. Mike?
Enoch does look interesting. I don't know. He hasn't grabbed me tightly enough yet.
Mm-hmm. And that's the thing, too.
I'm on the fence with him.
And that's the thing.
The thing that really screams at me every time I see him is, I would imagine you're both familiar with the old Dave Bullman Excalibur.
Yay! The gold kid.
Exactly.
Yeah. It is, yeah.
What was his name?
He could very well be inspired by that, though, dude. That's probably what he's inspired by.
I would imagine so.
Every
time I see it, I just think it looks very much like Modred. That was his name.
Yeah, Modred. Yeah, you would.
So I don't know, maybe that was some of the inspiration, but it also makes me think of the massive heads in what was the Sean Connery from Zardoz?
I've never seen Zardoz. I do want to watch it on some Saturday night though, on some Zardoz.
Yeah.
Right, we'll finish up very quickly.
Did you guys pre-order Thrawn?
No. Oh, do you want to talk about Thrawn?
Speaking of that show.
Okay.
Yeah. I haven't. I don't tend to pre-order. I just tend to like lurk and wait, and then just think at the last moment, okay, I'm going to spend $20 more, but I'll just get it now and have it in a week, rather than buying it and thinking it'll be here in 3.5 years.
It's a good likeness.
Thrawn's one I haven't picked up yet that you would think I would have by now. I would have pre-ordered him, but no, I haven't pre-ordered him yet.
Are you?
My only problem. problem with him is that I really like the portrayal. I think the acting was very good. It's a bit like, hopefully we'll mention him later, the Grand Inquisitor. The choice of actor, they're good. They're both good actors. That's the thing. They were chosen because of their acting chops rather than looking exactly like the person you wanted to look like. Because I've always imagined the Grand Inquisitor, and also, well, not imagined, I've seen them in animated series, etc., as being much skinnier, taller, more drawn.
Mm-hmm. Well, but Thrawn was also chosen, right, because he's the voice. Isn't he the voice actor?
He was the voice. Yeah, he was the voice in Rebels. And yeah. So I get that. But yeah, I just have liked a more drawn Sherlock Holmes kind of look to him rather than. But anyway, yeah, I want him.
Yeah, cool. I mean, he looked great alongside, you know, Tarkin and Meaty from Rogue One as well. So I think he'd look Krennic. He looked good alongside Krennic and those kind of second in command kind of guys as well, wouldn't he?
Yeah, and the other thing is obviously because they rescued him from his you know, his years in the wilderness, he was looking all a bit tatty and drawn, and they've represented that in the outfit, haven't they? You know, there's some frayed bits, etc. So again, we can guarantee he's going to come back in some grand new Imperial outfit.
Well,
so there's going to be a new release without a doubt.
Well, we're gonna, that's cool. Well, what we're gonna do now is we're gonna take a quick commercial break. I'm gonna have a little word from our sponsor, with Fanboy Collectors. We haven't heard from Fanboy in a little while. Again, Fanboy stocks up. He's got most of the stuff in pre-order, guys. So go order your hot toys from him. And he always sorted me out with a soaker as well. So, well, there you go. So that, take a commercial break. We'll be back in 2 seconds. Looking to find collectible figures at low cost with superior customer service? Fanboy Collectibles is one of the largest retailers of high-end collectibles on the east coast of the USA. Carrying a full array of hot toys, Enterbase, Sideshow Collectibles, 3A, and all the top manufacturers. Domestic and international packages ship daily, all fully insured with tracking number and securely packed. Getting it to you as quickly is important, but not as important as your collectibles arriving in pristine condition. Are you looking to pre-order an item to guarantee you don't miss it when it's released? Well, Fanboy Collectibles does that too. If you got a question about an item, give them a call, shoot them an email, or even leave them a message on their Facebook page. Fanboy Collectibles is available full-time to respond to you and to get your items to you as quickly as possible. Anyone can make a sale. Fanboy Collectibles knows the key to being successful is repeat customers. That comes from doing the right thing by you and making customer services their priority. Fanboy Collectibles. For some it's a hobby, to them it's an obsession. And we're back. Okay, right then. Well, I was going to just quickly just mention off the back of the new releases that they have released another Iron Man, another Mark II, another version of the Mark II, which I believe is like the third version of the Mark II that we've had now.
Fourth at least, isn't it? So we had the original, then we had the call it? Unleashed.
Unleashed. I have the Unleashed
first
one.
Metal one.
Yeah.
And then there's the new metal one, so it's at least the fourth.
Oh, my God. Oh, crikey.
Well, is the Unleashed one you're talking about the one where the parts were missing?
Yeah.
He kind of all came apart. And,
yeah, that's what I had.
Lay him on the table, yeah.
Right.
But my point for taking away this is because we're starting to, you know, buy figures and I would like to update all my Iron Man stuff with the diecast ones, but I looked at the price of this one, and I was like, no. No, I'm not spending that much money on this now, and which leads us into what we're doing and what we're buying and things like that. So we're going to start off our new reviews this year with a brand new figure. So the first figure out the door and we're going to talk about on our podcast is the Batman. Now, I believe I'm the only one on the show with this particular figure.
Absolutely, yeah. I don't have that.
And this guy, lads, you know, all in, he was pretty much £300. I was able to get a good deal off a guy off Facebook. I called Daniel.
Is this the one with the bat signal or without?
No, I got the standard one. I didn't get the one with the bat signal. I just got the standard one. So well, much
was bat signal and bike, wasn't there?
There was like
four or five different.
Yeah,
colors.
three or four versions, and I got this one. And I tell you what, like that for me was it. That's the maximum amount of money I'm willing to cough up for a hot toy. Now, luckily, I'm able to sell other figures and things like that to kind of finance myself. But if I wasn't, still, $300 for this figure is a lot of money in my opinion, and there's no way around it. This is the cheapest place I could get it. DP Toys on the Facebook, if anyone's interested, this guy can get them in quickly. And you pay for that thing. But even so, the standard pre-order for this guy is still around £300, if not more. And like, It's for starters, it's a wicked figure. It is it, this is a really excellent release from Hot Toys. This figure is stunning. But it's Bateson. It's the Bateson Batman, isn't it? And but the price, which we'll get into, but I'll just give it a quick review. Well, I'll just give it a proper review. And it's a great looking figure. It comes with plenty of gubbins. For some odd reason, I got the regular edition. Then, and evidently, there's a special edition that comes with something that goes in his pouch. So right now, he's got an empty pouch. Not too distracted, but it's just like, why has he got an empty pouch? Is there something missing? Is there something missing? And it's like, it's just unusual for Hot Toys to have such a gaping empty pouch. But there we are, a gaping empty pouch. He comes with a very nicely engineered faceplate system. This is like the best faceplate, easy to most change out faceplate system. If anyone had the Keaton Batman, that thing was a nightmare. I still have an image to change out my faces on my Keaton Batman because the magnet was too strong and it was too kind of wedged in there. So I have never been able to change out the faceplates on my Keaton Batman. But and the other ones I've had, and the Batfleck one was all right, but this one's particularly easy. It's just like really easy, and of course they've all now got magnetic heads as well, so you get that great range of motion. But it comes with two other. He comes with three face plates. Obviously, the lower face plate comes with a standard mouth closed, slightly speaky one, and then a kind of an angry teethy one. But he also comes with a great Pattinson head sculpt, where he's got the face, his eyes, with the black makeup on it, and he comes with two separate little kind of fringe hairdos with it. That one's kind of a bit more Bruce Wayne-y. And the other one's very shaggy. I just took off my helmet. I'm all sweaty and moody and gothy and emo and stuff. So, and that's really cool. And he comes with a mask, an extra spare mask. He can, when he's got his helmet off, you can he can hold his helmet. And then he comes, which is cool, what I think is very cool, a die-cast batarang that does come off the chest. Which
Oh,
I,
really? I didn't
yeah,
know that was a thing.
yeah, 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 yeah. You can. It's a die-cast batarang, and it pops and it stays on it. I was like, oh, it does come. Oh my God, it does come up. But you gotta. It comes with a little one of the little tools to get it off there. But you do have to futz. It's a bit tricky to get because it's a magnet, and obviously it's a strong magnet, so it wants to pop. But it does pop off, and it's die-cast, and it comes with all the other die-casty bits as well that you can kind of like stick at the catapult. The, whatever, the grappling hook,
Batarang,
the batarang, the grappling hook, the grappler.
Oh,
You can shoot off the grappler with that. And it comes with a few hands and some handcuffs. So, and a neck piece. So all in all, and a base, of course, and two little kind of stickies that you, two little things that you put in his pouch. And that's kind of it. And it's like, yeah, it's your very standard hot toy. But the point I'm making, and I'd like to hear your both of your opinion on this, is like, that's a lot of money, man. And that is a lot of money because, I got the Mondo Skeletor came out recently, and I know he's a little bit cheaper, and you get a lot with your Mondo Skeletor. Now I know there's not licensing a different license, so that's a Batman license. I know there's likeness rights as well for Pattinson and whatnot, but still.
And with the Skeletor, is there any mixed media? Are there
Yeah, he's got
cloth elements
he's got well
and.
he's got furry undies.
Right.
He's got furry,
Yeah, Mondo started adding some of that cloth. I noticed that with
yeah.
Prince Adam, he had the furry undies.
But my point is like this. I mean, I will say out the
But
door, this is an amazing figure. It is
then
absolutely
of
awesome.
course, then of course you have to doff your hat and say, well, yeah, I totally agree. $300 is, for want of a better word, we're paying for toys here. It's kind of crazy.
It is,
But
man.
there are people out there with crazy disposable incomes, and it's like then you have the in-art version of it.
Oh, yeah.
With rooted hair and different.
Yeah, and rooted hair doesn't really make a lot of sense on this figure.
Yeah, I think long term, is it gonna really last? I don't know.
Well, when you have short hair, I think it's sculpted hair look. You can it, really good sculptors can do excellent short hair. And
Totally.
Well,
in the
this is good.
rooted
This is
hair,
great.
you get less. Bang for your buck with rooted hair, with short hair. Long hair, yeah, that's really, you
Your
can do some wonderful
Gandalfs, for
things. But
example, yeah.
yeah, it's like when they're doing Harry Potter, and I'm looking at
Yeah.
that, Harry and Ron, thinking, that sculpted hair on both of them could look a lot, you could look as good or better than this really short rooted hair you're trying to do.
Yeah.
Straight up, but. Sorry, I was just taking a drink of water there. But
But
this.
I do think that whole kind of in-art thing and some of the other new players that are coming to the field, for a start, most of these companies are holding licenses that they can only distribute in Asia.
Yeah.
So obviously you've got shipping to contend with on top of whatever you buy. I can't imagine. I mean, I don't know. I don't really follow Sideshow and what. Obviously, we know they do Hot Toys. Are they carrying any of the in-art stuff? I don't know whether there are license issues. But
No, I don't think they
it's
can.
Yeah, I think Inart is just Asia only.
An arena of just crazy money. You know, it's like mortgage payments.
Yeah, it is. It is, dude. And as someone who's just getting a mortgage,
well, Hot Toys tried this before, right? I mean, this isn't the first time they've gone up 250, 270, 280. They tried this 7-8 years ago
with the DXs.
Yeah, and they found they couldn't get that price for them, right? And so you started to see them slide back down to 220, 230 more regularly. And I don't know what's going to happen coming out of this one. Are they going to be able to sell? Because they're going to sell fewer, but are they going to sell enough to make up for the fewer, you know, when it gets down to their actual profit? So we'll see. I mean, it's just a lot of this, I think, is getting driven by Inart. You know, Hot Toys and Inart are both thinking they can really charge big bucks if they can be the one and only in your collection. But it does mean people are going to buy far fewer figures. For example, yeah. I had this one on pre-order with the
Batsicle.
Batlight.
Yeah.
And I canceled it a month or so ago. I mean, I kept looking at it thinking, yeah, this is not $500 here. There's just no way I'm going to spend that kind of money on it. And I think more people, as time goes by, it's just going to get to the point where it's going to have to be something you absolutely have to have for that kind of money.
And I also think this is a big reason why so many more people are moving to 1/12 scale and moving to sort of plastic action figures. It's kind of like, they take up a lot less space, they're more affordable. It just kind of makes common sense.
As someone who's just moved into a new place and finding his new place for his Hot Toys and stuff like that, it's like, you know, there's so much great stuff out there now. It really is. You have to absolutely love it. And I'm getting rid of a lot of Hot Toys to facilitate Hot Toys that I'm absolutely in love with, or facilitate other figures that I'm in love with. You know, and
I think Mike's one of the rare people on this planet. As you have the kind of it's your dedication and your love and kind of reverence for this stuff. But you know, you have the luxury of being able to display.
You know,
it.
None of those words are the words my wife uses.
I bet they're not.
I'm sure she uses more clinical words.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, Dave, you've created a museum and you have this amazing collection. I live in a small, classic English kind of house that has very little room. So at any given point, I probably have about 2%, if that, of my collection on display. I have I have a storage unit and a lockup, and I have the loft full of stuff. It's like when you go into my loft, it's like that scene in Indiana Jones. Yeah. It's kind of because I just don't have the space to display it, and it kind of makes a mockery of owning it to a degree.
It does.
What is the point?
It does.
What's the point,
Jeff,
of having
it
all this stuff? It's sitting there, and sometimes I'll go for a rummage and I'll find something. I'll think, shit, I didn't even know I had that. It's just, and I'm sure you do the same, Mike.
And you know, if I'm not buying Batman, as psycho as I am about Batman, right? Yeah. And this is not another Affleck Batman or another Keaton Batman. This is Pattinson, who I don't have represented in my collection in 6 scale, and it was still too much for me to break down and buy.
Really? Yeah. So are you not going to get him at all?
We'll see what happens on the secondary market.
Right. Okay.
I mean, the one advantage is you've got three different versions, right?
Yeah. Exactly.
Four.
So
it's like you know.
Yeah.
So it is possible that we might see just the standard basic Pattinson showing up once in a while.
Cheap. That's the one I got.
They're also selling the Bat Signal individually, right? And I thought, well, maybe I'll just, because the Bat Signal's kind of cool.
Yeah, that is cool. And it is prominent in the movie, so it's kind of worth having. So it's kind of because I just watched the movie actually again over the weekend because I got the figure. I got the figure on Friday, watched the movie on Saturday, so it was really kind of cool watching. My God, it's a long ass movie. Shave, please. It'd be just great if you could just watch like a slightly, just 20 minutes less. Oh, here he is. He's walking around looking at stuff again. I know, and the thing is, I know it's kind of cool detective-y stuff, and you do kind of really kind of get into it. But still, it's like, come on. He's just walking into lots of rooms looking at stuff again. But it's a great figure. I highly recommend this one, but I do want one.
I have to, because it's like I pretty much have a representation of most of the Batman, you know, that have been on celluloid or whatever, TV and video game. And I mean, I'm not as big a Batman fan as Mike by any means, but the same, there are certain figures that just really sort of float your boat. It's like a little while ago, although I've had a sabbatical, there was, have you seen the Batman Arkham sort of armored figure for the sort of, I don't know, the frost snow kind of run. I don't even play the computer game. I just saw it and I just thought that looks great.
It's Batman.
And I don't know about you guys, but every now and then you'd be on eBay following something and something's listed really badly. And it just, you look at it in the final closing section thinking, that's ridiculously cheap. I'll chance my arm, and you get it, and you're like, how the freaking hell did that happen? And every now and then it's just like, yeah, great. So I picked that one. That was one of the few that I've actually got.
Get a good bargain. Right, then we better move on. Chapters are reviews. The clock is a ticking. So, lads, which one do you want to go? Which one have you got? Mike, what have you got?
Let's talk about Cobb Vanth. Since we've just been talking about Star
Wars. Yeah, that's one I want. Yeah, but I'll take it away. Let's see it.
Yeah, he just showed up today. I just unboxed him a little while ago. So he is, he's in that, 260, 270 range from Hot Toys, and he's got the alternate head, which is nice, right? I mean, we've kind of come to expect that, both the helmet and the portrait. The portrait, it's, as always with a Hot Toys portrait, it is realistic and lifelike. Mm-hmm. And it is great paint. However, I'm not exactly sure it's the greatest accuracy, right? When I look at it, especially through the jawline and around the mouth, it's just not – Timothy Oliphant is just not coming through for me in the sculpt. Now, this is a great example of really great hair. He doesn't need rooted hair. I mean, they did a beautiful job with a little flip in it in the front. And, I mean, it's just gorgeous. Like I said, really realistic and lifelike. But in hand, I'm not quite loving the accuracy of the Oliphant likeness. The costume is great. It's a little too clean. I mean, it's super, super clean and nice. And if you think about it, this is supposed to be pretty beat up.
Cowboy.
And so there's no wear or dirt. I mean, on the armor, there's wear, paint wear. But there's no, like, dirt or wear on the clothing at all. And you can remove it down to the brown shirt. So if you want to go with the shirt look on him instead of the armored look, you can do that. The weapons look good. He comes with a couple different ways to, you know, he comes with flames for the rocket pack. The rocket pack attaches with a magnet, nice and tight. There's no problem there. The rocket also has the firing rocket. So there's a resin, you know, a plastic trail for the rocket. So the rocket can be firing out of the top of the pack. You have to be a little careful getting that rocket into the pack the way you're supposed to. You have to have it lined up just right to slide it all the way down in. So if it doesn't slide in right away, try aligning it a little differently. He looks great. Like I said, the portrait's not my favorite in the world. The costume is nice. My only complaint about the costume is, once again, I don't know about you guys, but I don't love these holsters that Hot Toys tends to do. They're so thin and so plain that they look really cheap, right? I mean, there's no other way to put it. The holster looks really cheap. And I felt the same way about Doc Brown and Marty McFly that we just got this year from, you know, Back to the Future 3 with those holsters. But the rest of the costume looks great. He's got lots of doodads on the outfit. I'm happy with him. I'm glad I picked him up. He's my kind of extra character to have. Yeah. I've already got a spot next to Cad Bane for him to go. So we'll have Cad and Cobb there together. So I'm happy I got him. He's just, there's a couple of areas that could be a little better.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying about the holster, because I as much as I really like the mixed media, I take it this is one of the sort of pleather ones.
Yeah, and really thin.
Yeah, and I mean I half destroyed the one on my Leia with Wicket, because it was just so spindly. It was just this tiny thread of kind of
well, and
fake
you can
leather.
Tell they're just die cut. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's just a die-cut piece of pleather with another die-cut piece of pleather attached to the front.
It's a classic case where I kind of, although I really like the mixed media, I think that does elevate it to being sort of, your museum quality, in inverted commas. But sometimes I think just sculpt it, just make it plastic, because, you can actually then make it look better and it will last longer. But yeah, he's a figure I really want, but at the same time, I've got so many Boba Fetts. I certainly would want the sculpt, the portrait, front and foremost. Mm-hmm. Probably, you know, swigging from the bottle of Spotchka that he comes with or something, because I know you, your love of Westerns, I think that he fits more in that whole kind of scene. Yep. Rather than, I'd almost want the armor just sort of at his feet or something, I don't know. But yeah, it's one of one, but I don't know.
Cad Bane was in my top 10 for six-scale figures for 23, and that's partially because of that Western feel to a property I love, and you mix it with a Western feel, and you know you're always going to get me hooked on it.
Okay. And we'll try and find Cobb Vanth on the Hot Toy website. It's mad.
Yeah.
He's not really on there. But next figure, guys, what's the next one?
Well, I mean, I do have the Grand Inquisitor sitting in front of me.
Okay.
Yeah, well, you know, without going into too much detail, I don't get many gifts from Hot Toys these days, but it turned out just before Christmas. I know last year you got a couple, didn't you, Mike? And it's kind of like, it hasn't happened for years, and then all of a sudden, wow, where did this come from? So this is one I would have definitely wanted to have picked up anyway. I'm not going to lie, he's slightly disappointing. He looks great, but I think it's more to do with the fact that, like I was saying earlier about the fact that I loved the character in, you know, in Rebels and Clone Wars, etc. So somehow he looks more like Crichton, doesn't he, from Red Dwarf? Let's face it.
Kind of reminds me of Hellraiser for some reason. Just gives me
he's got quite a broad head, etc. But ultimately, you know, he's got a nice presence. You know, I love the magnetic way that the lightsaber attaches to the back. The hood sort of hangs nicely. He's got this really nice sort of black cape that does drape pretty well. It's got like a red patterned interior.
Is it USB?
And then he has, sorry,
is it USB?
It is USB. I'm not going to lie, I haven't fired the thing up, and the main reason I haven't fired it up is I never use light up lightsabers ever.
But you got USB now.
Yeah, and it's basically got this little sort of USB attachment, but it kind of goes to this little box that can either be, I think it can be battery operated, or you can plug it into a little sort of terminal somewhere, to your laptop or whatever, something somewhere. It's a move in the right direction, but the other thing is I've never really found that the lightsabers, regardless of what the power source is, they never really light up that brightly. They never really look that great from my personal experience, so I just rather have them a representation of a saber.
If you got them in a kind of slightly kind of more dim area, they do look boss. I mean, I put, when it first came around, the one USB hot toy thing that I have is the light up base for the new base, the latest Bespin Luke,
and that's
so that's great. It's like, oh wow, look, I can have my Star Wars display with a lovely red light up base, and then you hit the switch on Luke's forearm with the blue lightsaber, and when that comes on, you got the two of those things on. Sadly, it's a battery. Luke Skywalker, I moaned about this in the previous podcast.
Yeah,
but not coming with a USB, but it lights up lovely for like a few seconds, and then those few seconds, it just looks boss. I really do love it, especially if it's a slightly more dimly lit kind of cabinet, or whatever. But yeah, I mean, as I said, I want more USB lightsabers, please. Thank you.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, basically, at the end of the day, you know, if you're looking at the sculpt, you're looking at the portrait, it's a fantastic representation of the actor and of the character.
Yeah.
But it does have that slightly broader head. So it's, I don't know, you know, it's, there's just something that doesn't scream Grand Inquisitor to me. But at the same time, it's a great looking figure. The articulation's not bad, even though the pants, you know, trousers are fabric. There's still quite a bit of resistance within it. The knees are double jointed. You can get a fair representation there. The upper shoulders, because of the armor and the way it's constructed, you kind of struggle to get the arms particularly high. But at the same time, you know, it's a great representation. I haven't got Reva. I would like to pick her up to go next to him.
Yeah.
But it's kind of like, it's one of those things where he's a great representation of the character. If you wanted him on your shelf, he's going to look great. Because I also got the Purge Trooper as well.
Oh.
And so, you know, they'll all look great together on the shelf, because there's this whole kind of new Sith Inquisitor stroke kind of stuff going on in the Star Wars universe. And they all look great together. So it's not going to be a problem. But yeah, ultimately, I'd say if you were into Rebels and you want a representation of the Grand Inquisitor, this is the best thing you've got available at the moment. And I'm glad that I've got him.
Cool. Mike, any interest in this one?
No, not really. This is just, he's interesting, but I didn't pick up what's her face either from that series.
Reva,
Yeah,
yeah.
Reva. And if I was going to pick up one, it would have been her.
Yeah, I think the one must have for me personally is the Vader with the helmet open showing Anakin inside, because we've seen that a million times in fan art and
But to have it
in
official is kind of
games,
cool.
except but to have it officially part of canon and to see that's the one I'm really kind of, oh God, I didn't pre-order it. I hope it doesn't go mental, because it probably will as soon as it's released, but who knows.
We'll see. I mean, I'm not getting it because I'm still very happy with my New Hope Vader, because I love those slightly
I've
wrong
got so
buttons.
many Vaders. I mean, I've literally bought all the Vaders. It's an iconic character for me growing up, even though the quarter scale. But yeah, it's like I've got them all, but it's just that reveal. It's that little bit of Anakin's face showing through that really
Sets it off.
is sort of crying out to me. Yeah.
Cool. Right, Mike, what's next?
Well, I don't want to go without mentioning X-06. We've got all kinds of goodies since the last time we talked. As a matter of fact,
Wait,
I think.
have we any more hot toys to
They're
discuss?
really pumping them. I was going to say that with
Oh, I
Exo,
don't have
they're.
any more hot toys. That's it for me.
That's it for you.
Well,
Have you?
I
I
have
thought we had
I have
Peacemaker.
Peacemaker and I have Carnage behind me, but I don't
Let's
know how time's going.
talk about Peacemaker, and then we'll get into the Exo, because Exo 6 is going to be a bit chunky. Cause how many of Exo 6s have you got, Mike?
Well, we only need to, I mean, we need to talk about one specifically and then the others generally.
Okay, cool.
No, it'd
Well,
be good to get a roundup as well, because they've been really pumping those things out, haven't they?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, let's just quickly go over Peacemaker then, Jeff. So why did you get Peacemaker? Because did you like the TV show as much as I did?
I'm not gonna lie, I got a very generous gift from Hot Toys at Christmas, which I
Oh.
wasn't expecting. I haven't for years, but all of a sudden as I was saying earlier, Mike got some last year, which I'm not gonna lie, I was when he told me what he'd got, I was much more jealous, because it was much more Star Wars orientated. But no, this year I was, grateful to receive it. It's not a character I would have probably bought, but my God, it's great. I mean, this is
I'm just opening
one
mine now because
very cool
I had to put them
figure.
away because I moved. I had put my guy mine one away because I still haven't got all my hot toys out yet. I've only managed to get a few up, but I haven't got mine out yet. But I mean, I'm a fan of the TV show. I wasn't. I mean, I'm not the huge biggest Suicide Squad fan either of the movies. Don't really do it for
I
me that
really like
much.
the second Suicide
Oh, it's
Squad
definitely better.
movie. I thought it was great. I really enjoyed it. I saw it as an in-flight movie, so I wasn't expecting anything,
Oh,
and
crikey,
I
an
just
in-flight
really
movie.
enjoyed
Okay.
it.
Okay.
But yeah, my daughter and her boyfriend, they love Peacemaker, the TV series, which I still haven't seen.
Well, you
So when
have
I
to see
broke the
it.
figure out at Christmas to show, or just after Christmas to show them, they were like, "That's just freaking great."
It's a good TV show. It's a
Yeah, the
fun
TV
TV
show is
show.
great.
Cena's really good. It's a memorable character. It's got a good story. Kind of has a, there's a good arc to it and stuff like that. It is a fun character, and it's let's say he evolves as a character as the series goes on. It's quite good. But this figure, I mean, I wasn't planning on getting this because I saw that the shots of it, and I was like, ah, that's not great. I don't really want him with the open mouth, tongue out, and all that kind of a thing. And I was like, but then, as we have seen previously with other Hot Toys, they do a whole kind of cool, mad thing that you're not expecting, and they give us seamless, cool rubber arms that actually look anatomically correct to John Cena. They don't have the squiggly bicep and more vein on his arm. They could have done with giving him a squiggly, his famous squiggly vein. But this figure is stunning, absolutely stunning. And he didn't come with he came with a closed mouth, so it's very Cena. And he looks well moody, and you can move his eyes, and you can and you can change out the face, the bottom of the whole jawline.
And I have to admit, I love the open mouth,
It's
especially with the
great,
tongue
but
sticking out.
the fear was that was the only portrait you were going to get, like you got with Harley Quinn with just the mouth open. That was the fear, and that's why I kind of wrote him off. But when I saw pictures of him coming out with the faceplate that you could also just take the tongue out as well, and he's just shouting, I just thought, wow, what a great variety of options for your figure to have. And he's very heavyweight. The only criticism I do have that his boots should be blue. They're black. His boots should be the same color as his
See,
gloves.
I wouldn't have known that. The other thing, my criticism of boots is I would have liked them to have disguised some degree of ankle
Yeah,
articulation.
yeah,
They
yeah.
could be, there is some.
There is, no,
They're
there is.
actually pliable enough
Yeah.
to kind of tilt them enough that you can get a degree of tilt not backwards and forwards, but certainly to the side. So there is that, but I would have, you know, Hot Toys, come on, you guys are good enough for engineering a split cut in a boot to make it believable.
And of course, worth mentioning is the gun.
Oh yeah, I mean, what is it with DC having this whole policy? Well, you know, I know we live in politically correct times, but at the end of the day,
still
this
sell
guy...
those guns by the bucket load, don't they? So what? Yeah, I don't understand the logic, Mike. Explain that to me. Explain to me why you know you can have laws that say we can't have toys with guns, and yet you know an 18-year-old can go buy a bazooka.
As we've discussed with Mike in the past, you know, in America you can't buy a Kinder Egg, but you can buy a, you know, an assault rifle. It's just a crazy situation. But yeah, the gun is permanently stuck in the holster, as are both the clips.
Or is it, Jeff?
Well, I'm pulling at it as we speak.
Don't pull. Have you got a scalpel?
Well, I have got a scalpel, but
it is a teeny. I mean,
it's definitely a second.
It's not glued in. The gun is not glued in.
Oh, isn't it? My worry was that it was two separate parts.
No.
There is a way.
I'll tell you what it is. All you got to do is get your hairdryer. Squeeze the holster a bit, and you will see that there's a simple, very thin bit of plastic going through the trigger.
All right. I can see it even without having to do that.
Get your scalpel and cut that little bit of plastic. Just snip that, and your gun will go up. Because he needs his gun, man. Yeah. He needs, and what a cannon. It's like a Desert Eagle and then some. It's a massive thing. I don't know what it is. But it's a huge hand cannon anyway. But yeah, you can do that. He does need his gun. But he comes with his axe. He comes with his cool peacemaker sword. He comes with two helmets as well. And of course, like I said,
the blue one on the plane.
Yeah. And also those face plates as well. What else is he coming? What else is that there? And a few hands and a base.
Well, he comes with eagly,
of course, he comes with eagly, which is brilliant.
So you've got spread wings and closed wings.
Yeah.
I mean, this is one of the areas where I think Hot Toys could try harder. Sometimes, whenever we get an animal included as an accessory, don't get me wrong, it's nice, it's very well done, but it's not. It just feels like a. I don't know. It's like with the cat we got with Ripley and various other animals we've had in the past. They just feel like accessories rather than animals in their own right. And I feel like Eagly could have been just sculpted just to feel more naturalistic. It looks very solid and plastic and just sitting there as a solid thing. I like it. It's nice. We've got it. So don't, you know, there's part of me thinks, don't complain. You've got a great accessory. Mm. There's another part of me thinks, well, yeah, but you can always ask for it just to be a little bit more lifelike.
I guess it's maybe keeping the price point down as well.
Yeah. Because
I don't know about that. I've never liked that argument that especially with sculpting, you know, with paint, sure, paint is a unit cost and, you know, it's something you can cut and get cheaper paint. But sculpting is you either hire the good guy or you don't hire the good guy.
Yeah. Fair enough. No, good point. I can take that point, yeah.
I just think the fact that it's sitting there square on, 90 degrees, you know, like totally symmetrical. There are very few things in the natural world that are totally symmetrical. It just feels like it could have been a little bit more naturalistic. Head turned slight. I mean, even though it was just because let's face it, it's a bald eagle. I didn't pick up on that.
You can turn his head.
But I just think, you know, because it's the bald eagle with the white between the brown, you could have had a little ball joint in there to get. So anyway, yeah.
But it's great though. It is good.
Put it this way, it's a figure I wouldn't have naturally picked up. I've got it, and I'm like, wow, this is an absolutely killer figure.
I mean, what would have been really cool for the eagle is if he came with little talons that you could wrap him on as in. He could actually go on the arm of Peacemaker. But yeah, for anyone on the fence at all with this Peacemaker figure, I highly recommend him. He's great. He's a great presence on the shelf. I just really, really, really like him. I'm kind of getting rid of a lot of my other DC figures at the moment, but I'm going to keep Batman, and I got rid of my Man of Steel. So I've sold that, but I'm going to keep Batman, Superman, and Peacemaker because I just think they're the best looking figures. That Man of Steel, in my opinion, has not aged well. I think it's a bit stout and puggy looking, but this is John Cena on your shelf, man, and he looks absolutely dope. And the helmet's very shiny.
And the other thing for me is, like, as I said, this is the figure I wouldn't normally pick up, and it's a figure I might naturally have migrated out of the collection and made some money out of. But there's something about it, particularly with the. It's like you were saying, I really love the earlier version of Harlequin. with the mouth open. Yeah. And I think him with the mouth open and the tongue, and her next to him.
Yeah, it's
Suicide Squad. They're going to look like a really cool couple on the
show.
They will.
And you've got to watch a TV series, Jeff. You got to go watch.
Oh, I will. Don't get me wrong. I want to watch it. I can't find it free anywhere in the UK. I mean, my daughters do all kinds
of
illegal
TV.
Streaming. So.
Have you got Now TV?
Oh, I don't think so. I've got Amazon. I've got Disney. I've got Netflix. I don't think I've got Now.
No, okay. Well, we'll get your kid to hook you up then and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But there you go. Right, then that's the end of the Hot Toys now. So we're going to move on to a little bit on Exo 6, and we'll finish up with briefly on Skeletor, Mondo Skeletor. Are you getting the Mondo Skeletor, Mike?
No, I did get the Prince Adam. They had sent that one to me, and I enjoyed that one.
Cool.
And I did recently get the Harlequin, which was their animated series. Fantastic. I love her.
Okay, give us a rundown then on quickly. Give us a rundown before you go into Exorcist. Give us a quick rundown.
Well, the Mondo Harley is great. I mean, she's a. I'm really happy to see Mondo continuing this line. You know, for a couple of years there, we didn't get anything out of it, and now we've gotten Joker and Harley, and we've got Man-Bat right around the corner. He should be shipping here pretty soon. He's a monster. Yeah, did you see him at PowerCon?
Yeah, amazing.
Monster. He's going to definitely be a hanging-from-the-ceiling figure. There's no way I'm standing him on a shelf. And so I'm really glad that we're seeing those. I'm hoping for – and we've got Phantasm coming. And I hope for another announcement here pretty soon. But again, like always with Mondo figures, I cannot stress this enough. If you are going to buy a Mondo figure from any of their lines, X-Men Animated, Masters of the Universe, Batman the Animated Series, buy the exclusive.
Yes,
you're going to spend another $15-$20 over the cost of the regular, and you're going to get a ton of extra stuff.
Oh yeah.
So for Harley, there's five portraits all together. I think there was only three with the basic. She comes with the two hyenas.
Looking names at it now.
Heckler Jekyll.
Yeah, no, they're the two comedians. Why am I blanking? The two comedians from American early film.
Abbott and Costello.
No, the other one.
It's worth a
I'll plump. Think of it in a minute.
Bud and Lou.
Bud and Lou, there you go. Abbott and Costello.
All right.
And so Bud and Lou are great sculpts, huge. Just those two are worth it. I mean, and you get extra heads, you get extra hands. So you always want to go with the exclusive version with Mondo when you can. She stands great, unlike, you know, some of the Batman who had those little tiny feet. I don't blame Mondo for that. It's just that the figure's design has a huge upper body and little itty bitty feet. But I have no trouble having Harley stand. She looks great next to Joker. She is smaller. Both her and Catwoman are small. Some people think that, you know, I've heard some comments that Harley's too small next to Joker because Joker's pretty big, which is what I think is really more of the problem. But on the shelf altogether, they look fantastic. So I was really happy with Harley, and I can't wait for Man-Bat.
Love her. I'm going to get that Rogue. I haven't got any of the X-Men because I just don't have their own from, but I'm definitely getting the Rogue that they showed off.
Yeah, I'm just looking at that. She does look cool. But I have to ask, while we're on the Mondo vibe, has anybody ordered MacReady?
No, yes, but I do want to get that.
Yeah, I'm a little worried about the costume. It looks a little G.I. Joe.
Yeah, it's quite pleathery.
I'm a little worried. Well, the collar looks big, and, you know, it just looks a little chunky, and I'm hoping they get proportions a little better. But I thought the head sculpt looked great.
Great head sculpt.
Of course, if we haven't ordered, we've missed the exclusive, of course, which came with the various thing, the upturned head, et cetera, on the spider legs.
Yep.
And you got Prince Adam
tempted.
As well.
I was tempted.
I got Prince Adam as well in his little.
I haven't got my one yet.
I
haven't gotten it yet. So I'm dying to hear what you think about him because I'm dying.
I thought he was really good. I mean, again, it's the exclusive version, so you get the multiple heads. And you get the three swords, the one with the lightning effect coming off of it. You can actually do the pose, you know. Yeah. It's a little rough to get his arm up high enough because you know how the articulation works on those. It's a little action figure. But you can get him into that pose, and you can swap out. He's got the harness, so you can put the sword on his back, but you can take that harness off. I ended up thinking I like that look a little bit better.
It is nice. It's a nice harness.
Yeah, it's a good look, and he's got the, you know, like even the blue, like the leggings are cloth now.
Yeah, He's got his proper man tights on. His pink tights.
That really adds a lot, I think, to the figure. I think that, going this route of adding a little bit of soft goods is a real improvement.
Yeah, especially when it's that kind of material that stretchy has a, you know, it's going to last, isn't it? So it's, I mean, I remember when looking at it in your review and when it came out and just thinking, this really does seem the way to go. Because although there's this kind of joy of recreating He-Man as visible joints, because there's something about the heritage of the figure, you know, when it was a kid's toy. But at the same time, there's something really nice about just upping the ante a bit.
No, it is. Mm-hmm. It's a fantastic looking figure. I haven't got mine yet, so I can't really give an accurate review on it, but I can't wait. And all I can judge it really on is that Mondo have been kicking them out lately, and it seems to be that every release is just getting just a little bit better. And it's no exception with this Skeletor. This, Mike, you have to get the Skeletor. This guy's...
Oh, I've heard he's way better than the first one.
Dude, he is phenomenal. I like the first one. I like the first one plenty, but I had my issues with it. And it was just a few little things, just both on design and just aesthetics and functionality and stuff. But man, this I purposefully the video, my YouTube, it's on YouTube, my video review is on YouTube, so you can folks can hear I can go into a lot more detail on the YouTube video than I will here, but in short, this thing is, I was shocked by it. What I do is I get my fig, I purposely don't look at many photographs of a Mondo Master Universe figure because I want that surprise when I get it through the post. And so I know it's going to be good, I know I'm going to buy it. It's a He-Man, I'm buying it, bound, so it's no problem at all. And so when I do my videos, you get my initial girly, shrieky, look at this reaction. And, you know, my reaction is always girly, but this was absolutely mind-blowing because I knew he came with a lot of stuff, but I didn't kind of, you don't really register till it's like right there in front of you. But like, if you're a fan of this, fan of Masters of the Universe, and you want your 1/6 Skeletor, this is beyond anything you could want, because he comes with not only really well designed standard looking Skeletor that's got little embellishments from all the genre, from all the ages of Masters of the Universe, designed by my friend Emiliano Santa Lucia, and it's just got, you know, hits of 2000. It's very much Skeletor, a vintage Skeletor with the bigger lapels and all this stuff. But it dips its toe into its original concept design from Mark Taylor with the greaves on his legs, and the bracers as well. Just he's awesome. Like, it's a big broad figure. The colors in this are particularly lovely. It's got beautiful kind of metallic purple, and little hits of lighter purple and silvers, and it's really lovely and rich in terms of the colors. It also comes with comes with a battle armor, which is amazing, and you just snap that on, you take it off, his standard kind of Romanist outfit, pop his head off, and it's got a different thing with the head, where the head is kind of like two pieces. The hood is now a separate piece, but the head is like a solid head that you just pop on. But you have to pop the head on with the hood, which makes it a little bit futsy, but it can be done, and I can see why they did it, because it's nice to have the head kind of floating around there, and you can get a lot more dynamic range and looks and stuff like that, and his jaw is fully articulated as well. But he also comes with two extra heads. Three extra heads. How many? Three extra heads. He comes with a vintage head, like the vintage kind of standard old 80s toy head, which is cool if you want that. I doubt you're going to use that, but it's cool to have it. It comes with a really, really cool... which only came with its previous exclusive. The previous Skeletor came with an exclusive, what they call an Alfredo Alcala head. Now, he was one of the old vintage artists of the comic book back in the day, and his Skeletor was particularly ghoulish and gnarly and cool, and we always loved it as kids because it was kind of spooky and scary. And for a lot of us, that's the quintessential Skeletor, but you know, over the years, you know, you evolve your opinion. But it comes with a kind of a cool, unique kind of design head, where he's kind of like... It's very green, and it's very kind of Evil Dead-y, and I mean that in a very good way. It's very kind of Evil Dead and cool. But he also comes with his Dragon Blaster armor, which is essentially another piece of armor that you put a fully articulated dragon on his back that, you know, spits out like flames or this kind of acidy stuff, which is an added effect that you can put into the dragon's mouth. So it's a fully articulated dragon with movable mouth, jaw, head, waist, legs, feet, and everything. And he grapples on, and you can hook him on with a chain and a collar around his neck onto the back of this metallic armor that Skeletor can put on. And it's just so badass. It's just really, 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 really cool. Also, new things I will say that really impressed me that Mondo have stepped up a bit is it comes with a new base. So it looks like Mondo have gone with a new base. So finally, maybe someone heard me screaming enough. And it's just a nice, simple, stone-sculpted, wider base that can fit the full stance of the figure. Because the last stands just did not hold the figure at all. The Havoc staff, the weapons, everything on this. The paint job is superb on this. Mike, you've got to get it. Now, there's a a standard edition coming out now, but if you can, try and get the this full Mondo Store edition. It's superb, Mike. It's absolutely superb. It's one of my figures of the year, this one. Absolutely. I mean, sweet. Out the door, I mean, we've had two great figures this year already. I've had the Skeletor and I had Batman, one day after another. I had the Batman from Hot Toys and I had the Skeletor from Mondo. And like, that is 1/6 awesomeness. But I'll tell you which one of these is more value for money, and it ain't the Batman. You get bang for your buck with this Skeletor. Yeah, I know there's a likeness thing and soft goods, and yeah, maybe the Hot Toys has more hire and more expense gone into it. But
well, that's why I'm really interested in seeing what Mondo does with MacReady.
Yeah,
because you know it might, and MacReady might not have the best costume. He is their first attempt at going with this. Really, I mean, they did Alfred Hitchcock, but he's really their first attempt at going with this licensed kind of character. So I'm really looking forward to seeing what they can do with all that, with a more standard 12-inch figure.
Okay. And the only MacReady's we've had available so far have been sort of custom editions, haven't they?
Yeah, NECA.
So it's yeah.
12-inch wise, we only had PCS. Remember they did back when they did the. A couple of other figures. They dabbled and they actually showed a MacReady along with American Werewolf in London.
I was kind of surprised when they were messing around with different figures of a Sideshow. You know, we got Big Trouble. Did they do Big Trouble in Little China?
Yeah,
they certainly did.
Jack Burton. I recently saw one.
Certain other films. But it was kind of, I was amazed that that is one of the most iconic roles that, you know, Kurt Russell's had, and probably one of the most beloved films that have been made, you know, of that science fiction horror genre in decades. And it's just, it doesn't seem to get the love.
I know.
We got one of those, and they did the Firefly, and that was
Yeah, and they did Escape Firefly, from New
good.
Yeah, they did Escape from New York, didn't they, Sideshow as well, which was kind of mixed bag. It looked okay, but
could have been a little more weathered, and yeah.
Well, there you go. That's those. Mike, we've got about 8 minutes.
Sure. Exo-6. I don't know when we talked last. It's been forever. Back in September, they released Quark. That was the first one they did from second one they've done from Deep Space Nine. Mm-hmm. And I suspect we're going to see a lot of Deep Space Nine releases in 2024. As a matter of fact, I think the next thing we'll see start shipping is Kira. Right after that, I know we didn't talk about B'Elanna Torres. That was another one of the Voyager releases.
Okay.
She's terrific. And she is the second to last. We've got Neelix still coming, and I think that will finish them up pretty well on Voyager. I never expected to have, you know, when you see all of those Voyager figures together at once on the shelf, it's just incredible to see that you got a full bridge crew of Voyager.
Have you got a photograph of that?
I think I showed it. Well, I know
it's in one of
your
videos. I'm sure it's in one of your videos.
I know it's in the video when I was just talking about something to do with one of the figures. So, yeah, it's really impressive. And then since then, now, you know, at the end of the year, just before we get into this whole, you know, Chinese New Year and everything, they banged out the Admiral Picard from the Picard show. So you get this nice old wrinkly Picard.
Nice.
And
You got Locutus as well, didn't you?
Locutus, I forgot to mention him, yeah. Which I think Locutus has the best Picard head sculpt in 6th scale we've gotten so far. While he's got the bits on him, it really looks like him. I mean, and they did a nice job with the articulation on that. Well,
yeah.
Hello?
So, yeah, we got Locutus in the middle there. I think that was November or December.
Right.
Yeah.
And then the one we just received, which is the one I want to talk about the most because it just started shipping, is Data from the Next Generation.
Yay!
So we finally are starting to see, you know, we had already gotten the only Next Generation figures we had gotten so far from them is Q.
Yep.
Great
figure.
And I'm trying to think, there's another one. Maybe Q was the only one. Maybe Q's the only one we've gotten so far now that I think about it. Oh, Locutus, duh.
Oh, yeah.
Locutus is a Next Generation figure as well. So those are the only two we've gotten out of the actual show. They did the First Contact Picard, and they did the First Contact Data. But this Data is the younger, early seasons Data with a little tighter face. The sculpt has his, you know, his face is a little tighter. It's fantastic sculpt.
It's
they
very
the paint.
Good. It's very
they
good.
really did a beautiful
Yeah.
job on getting the skin tone just right for that kind of droid look. The android face, the android eyes. They did two heads again, and now you're talking $190 for the what they call the Essentials version. And what they do is when you give you an Essentials version is for the person who just wants to have a really great Data in their collection looking the right way. Comes with the standard, you know, tricorder communicator phaser kind of setup. One head, there's Data, $190. For $230, you get the standard edition, which comes with the second head. Again, this is for $40 more. You're getting a second head, a couple of extra hands, and two versions of Spot the Cat.
Nice.
One where he's sitting on his one he's sitting on his haunches, and one where he's relaxing in a pose that's perfect to put him on Data's arm. So speaking of that hawk earlier, this is a really nice version of a cat. The paint could be a little better on the whiskers and stuff. You know, it's still a little toyish, but the sculpt is really nice, and I liked getting a second, you know, more relaxed kind of pose like that. That's pretty natural for the cat. And so, yeah, you get two versions of Spot. So, it's fantastic. The second head sculpt has a slightly different expression. When I first wrote the review, I said they were the same, and XO6 yelled at me very quickly and said, "What? Have you lost your mind? Look at them. They're different." Well, and they are slightly different, the expression. But the second head, the big thing is that the back of the on the one side of the hair, the skull opens up, and you can see inside to see his inner workings.
Oh yeah, I saw
is,
that.
Is the other expression the kind of kink that Lore does? You know, Lore does this kick to his lips, doesn't he? Is that what?
Yeah.
Do you think they're trying to capture that with that second head sculpt?
It looks a little like that. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, it's you know. But fantastic. The costuming. You were talking earlier about, you know, fans and not paying attention and having opinions. XO6 does the most amazing job on these costumes, making sure they are getting materials that match the on-screen look as close as they can, matching actual colors. They're working with actual prop people on the Star Trek shows and the ones who work for the big prop companies making the replica costumes, and they are doing a fantastic job with these costumes. They look amazing.
This is a nice figure. I'm actually tempted by this myself.
I think this is a classic case where, you know, you've got Nanjing Tam at the helm here, haven't you? This is a guy who lives, breathes, sleeps, eats Star Trek. This is a guy who absolutely has it in his veins. He adores it. He loves it. Everything about it is his mojo. So he's not going to skimp. He's not going to say, oh, that's good enough. That's okay. We'll let that go. Like you would have in a million and one toy companies, you know, that are creating whatever. Even when they think, you know, this is a guy that loves it in his veins, in his heart. So he's not going to put that shit out.
You can always tell when that's the case. You always get you know, if you look at the greatest figure lines that we've ever gotten, the Muppets from Palisades or, you know, the Simpsons from Playmates, they were driven by people who loved the license and were huge fans themselves and wouldn't really, you know, they didn't really want to compromise to second best. They wanted it to be the best line. You are never going to get a better 6-scale Star Trek license than what we're seeing XO6 produce. It's just incredible. And now this year in 2024, we should see quite a bit of Next Generation. I expect Next Generation and Deep Space Nine to be their focus this year for the most part, although the Wrath of Khan stuff is coming as well.
Oh, God, yeah. I'm
just hoping at some point they're going to revisit the classic series because I missed
out
on
the first
time.
Well, yeah, but
I think
they want to wait on that. You know,
They've already done it, so I can totally understand that. Right. But
And they'll add in some pieces. You know, we've already gotten the Mirror Spock and Sulu, and we got the two movie Kirk and Spock. But with Wrath of Khan, I think they're dipping their toe into it with the movies and with some of that stuff. But I suspect we'll see a complete bridge crew from original series before they're done.
Yeah, that's what I'm really hoping at some point. Because I want Kirk, I want McCoy, I want Spock.
Keep in mind, we've gotten 24 figures in 30 months plus a chair.
Have they ever done a Uhura?
No, nobody's ever, other than Barbie.
Yeah.
Nobody's ever done it in a Hurrah.
That's what I thought, yeah.
I'll definitely get a Khan from Wrath of Khan. I'll definitely get that, and I would like the movie. I already have the Kirk, the previous Kirk and Spock's, which I quite like and stuff like. But if there's newer ones coming, I'll definitely opt for that. But I don't know what I obviously need space, so it's like, do I go with retro Kirk and Spock, or do I go with movie Kirk and Spock? But there's something really appealing about movie Kirk and Spock, as in like Wrath of Khan movie Kirk and Spock with the thick collars.
Well,
and
the Wrath of Khan, what's really appealing too is the costumes. Those the costumes are so cool.
Yeah, I love those. Yeah.
And they are doing the Kirstie Alley character as well.
I rewatched a few of the old movies over Christmas, and I enjoyed them. You know, there are kitsch bits, you get on with it. But even though the original, as we all know, is as kitsch as hell, that's the thing I always keep going back to. I'll occasionally watch, you know, Next Generation when it's on TV or whatever. It's all great. I love it. I'm not a massive Trekkie, but I do love it. But the original series, the Gene Roddenberry original two series, that for me is Star Trek all the time, and it's that is the crew I want.
Yeah, it is good stuff.
Well, I'm working my way through Voyager right now. The problem is it takes me time to get back to the show, so I've been working my way through Voyager for like 6 months, but and then I'll get on to Enterprise next. But yeah. I mean, I love everything about Trek. I can watch a show from any of the shows and enjoy it. Strange New Worlds is so good. Yeah, I know
Strange New Worlds.
So
hit the ground running,
I haven't seen that. I must. Give
it's
it a
good,
go, yeah.
Jeff. It is good. It's proper Trek.
It looks like the natural successor to the original series.
It is. It is
from what I've seen.
Yeah, it is
very
much
similar
so.
In tone.
It kind of feels in tone like it's got a love letter to
it's
it.
It's a little on the nose at times. It's a little, you know, a little. It's definitely a little try hard at times. I think sometimes some of the drama isn't quite earned in it, but. But it gets very good, and you do get to really like the characters. That's one of the that's one of the things with Star Trek. It's like, oh, I'm not sure I'm going to get to like these characters. But like, we've pretty much felt like that with all crews of a starship and Star Trek TV shows. It's like, oh, I'm not sure if I'm going to like these characters. But you do. You end up loving all of them, even Chakotay. Even Chakotay.
Even Wesley.
Even Wesley Crusher.
Oh, come on. Give Wesley a break. Everybody gives he saved their asses.
He did.
So many times. And not only that, he's grown up to be one of the most wonderful human beings on the planet.
That's true. The actor is just wonderful.
Yeah.
So there you go. Well, that's it, guys. We'll have to call it a day. But that's some really, really good some Star Trek figures. And again, we've gone over the X-06 a few times on here already, and it's just they're doing some really great work, and I'm going to get that Khan for sure. But that's it now, guys. That's our quick we've been at it for nearly an hour and a half now, so there you go. And that's not bad, viewers, and we'll try and go back to you as soon as we can again.
And if you sat here and listened to this whole hour and a half, you really need to just start watching more movies and TV shows out there, because there's some really great stuff you could be watching.
Yeah, you gotta watch Peacemaker. There's a new Masters of the Universe show coming again now. We got the Revolution that's going to be coming. It's going to probably hopefully that won't annoy as many people as that last one did. I even though I loved the last one. But
and if you haven't watched Blue Eyed Samurai on
Netflix, yes,
you're really missing out, and I would kill for some Mondo 6 scale figures of that.
Blue Eyed Samurai is amazing. Yeah, I've just started watching it. Absolutely great stuff. Really, really great stuff. Well, I've been Eamon O'Donoghue. You can catch.
I've been Jeff Parker.
You've been Jeff Parker. Who's the other guy?
I don't know. Michael Crawford. That's who that is.
He's been Michael Crawford. And catch us on the next one, guys. Catch us on the next Hot Toy Cast. You can follow me, Eamon _ on Twitter, or Eamon O'Donoghue on Instagram.com. Please go order Dark Wolf Frazetta Icon Collectibles Dark Wolf action figure. It's available on Big Bad Toy Store now, and the whole shebang in the UK, and 5K Toys. Go buy it now, because we're gonna sell out. We're gonna sell out by the time this podcast airs. It could very well been sold out already. There you go. And you can catch all the stuff we talk about, especially the X-06 stuff. Catch on Mike Crawford's website, because he's got lovely photographs of most of these X-06 figures he's been talking about on his home studio already, and they're lovely, lovely, lovely photographs. But tell us, Mike, once again, you got to drop this now. For the next few episodes, I'm going to get you to this. Where can folks see your amazing museum video?
Well, on YouTube, it's you either look for MWC Toys, always will get you there, or you look for CIOPCC, that'll get you there too, the Crawford Institute of Pop Culture Collectibles. So.
The Crawford Institute of Pop Culture Collectibles. Have you got that, ladies and gentlemen?
CIOPCC.
CIOPCC. Go there.
Search for that on YouTube, and you can't miss it. There's about 200 videos.
Okay, good stuff. All right, guys. Good night, ladies and gentlemen. We will catch you on episode 72. Maybe a different format. We'll see. I'm not going to promise anything. I'm always promising stuff. There you go. Good night, folks. Good night, guys.
Good night. Good night.
Night.